This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services. Okay, so that was, let's see, you started it in 13, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess LinkedIn really kind of started to take off around then, right? Because I remember I was on LinkedIn like in, like you said, like 05, 06 or something. And I didn't know what to do with it. Like my friend was like, you should sign up for LinkedIn. I'm like, okay. Like people tell
what
me
this.
I do them. Yeah. So I signed up and for years, I was like, I don't know what to do with this profile. Like what? And then I was working with some doctors. I remember I work with a fair amount of medical professionals and one of them sends me this LinkedIn request. And I'm like, oh, really? There's doctors on LinkedIn? Like, I don't know. So I accepted his friend request, his LinkedIn request. And then I realized, wait a second. Now I'm connected with all of the people that he knows.
Exactly.
And then when I would post something or send it out, he would see it. They would see it too.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it starts to build the circles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. it's funny you said that because there are a lot of people that think certain professionals are not on LinkedIn.
Not like, now. Oh, everybody's on LinkedIn.
Exactly. You think, oh my God, this is surgeons on LinkedIn.
Or of course they are.
And
they belong to organizations that have groups
that have
for their medical associations.
Oh, yeah.
Even the college kids. My son's an informatics major in college. Mm-hmm. All the big data and stuff.
Yeah.
They make them set up a LinkedIn profile like right away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? It's huge because it's part of the pillars as a professional. You know, it makes sense for you to have one.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work. And they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey, this is Gilbert Abraham from AGM. I help companies leverage LinkedIn, specifically Sales Navigator and LinkedIn Ads, to generate results and close more deals. Super excited to be here.
All right, Gilbert, thanks for coming on the Accidental Entrepreneur. I know we've been chasing each other down and you're busier than I am most of the time, but you are the guru when it comes to, I think I met you not at the first event I ever had with Sid, but the first early ones, you know, in Fairfield when we can meet in person.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So,
but, fly, man.
You know, every time I talk to you, and we're going to get into your history and backstory and everything, I don't know if it's LinkedIn. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I don't know if it's LinkedIn that's changing or there's always some tidbits that you like save for the next presentation, you know, like make all these notes. I'm like, I didn't know that.
You're going to be blown away today.
All right, let's do it. Well, first let's talk about your background, where you're from. You know, what you grew up with and your, you know, your training, and then how you kind of got into all the digital marketing that you do and stuff like
Cool. So I'll start about 21 years ago.
Okay.
Me, my family, mom, dad, sisters, got on a plane and came to the States.
From?
Haiti.
Okay.
And none of us spoke English. It was interesting. We got to JFK Airport. None of us understand or spoke any English.
Right.
And when we first came to the States, we went to see family. We wanted to go see family in Canada. So we had to go to JFK and then from JFK to Canada.
Oh,
and
okay.
We got lost in JFK Airport.
Yeah, you probably couldn't read any of the signs or anything, right?
No, we didn't speak any English. We spoke French and Haitian Creole. So it was
right.
The most interesting time. We spent about an hour trying to find our way around. Then we find someone that actually spoke Haitian Creole.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, JFK is an international airport, so the chances are a little bit higher.
Yeah, but 21 years ago, it was a little bit different.
Right, a little different.
And, you know, he gave us a little bit of directions. Then when we got to the gate, they're like, why are you here? Where do you want to go?
Right, interrogate you.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know where, I don't know what it is, but I kind of felt like I understood what they were saying. And I said, yeah, we're here on vacation and we're going to Canada. And and they're like, oh, okay.
And that was it?
So that was it.
They put you through to the next.
They put us through and we went to Canada. And then from Canada, we came back to the States. And then after that, I ended up staying in Miami.
But you weren't, even though you said you were on vacation, you weren't really on vacation. You were moving here or somewhere.
Not yet.
Oh, not at that point?
That was my first time coming to the States. The moving came later. But that first time where I was experiencing America at JFK Airport.
Yeah.
You know, new environment and everything.
You know, it's funny, as being part of the English speaking world, we take it for granted. We go to other countries.
Like,
most times you can find somebody speaking English, but the reverse is not always true.
Yeah. It was an interesting time, but it was a great lesson learned where I had to learn how to think fast on my feet. And that helped me throughout my whole life. And fast forward, came back from Canada, then I moved to Miami with my family members, then moved to Philly, and then went to school. And my undergrad was at Cheney University, right outside the Philadelphia area, where I started my first business.
Okay. And this was like early 2000s?
Yeah.
Right?
Early 2000. We're talking 2004.
Okay.
So I started my first company. My friends and I, we saw an opportunity where we could really, we started because we wanted to meet a lot of girls and make money and don't be broke in college because we're here.
Man, those are the three objectives.
Yeah. So, you know, we put our head together. We got a camera. I was the sales guy. So I was going around campus asking people if they want us to do pictures for them for free so we could get referrals after that.
Okay.
And we started.
So it was like a photography video kind of business?
Yeah, it was. It started as a photography headshot type of business, but it grew where we started doing events for the local universities. So
right.
From banquets to alumni, homecoming, and so forth.
Now, in 2004, was it digital yet? Did you have tapes? Cartridges, right?
It was a combination. We had a digital camera.
Okay.
That we put all our money together to get.
And right. Then it was not cheap in those days.
Yeah. And then we had like a little printer. Where we will print the pictures on the spot.
Like right there.
Yeah.
Which now is probably easy to do. You go to a bar mitzvah and they're printing them out.
Yeah.
But then it was, I remember 2000, my son was born in the summer of 2000 and we had like our first digital camera was one of those Sony ones where you slide the disc in the back. You took 10 pictures,
man.
The disc popped
then you
out.
Gotta
that
get
was
it
all
out.
You could do. And we had all these discs. We didn't know what to do with the thousands of discs, you know? So so it's right around that whole
evolved.
Digital thing. Yeah.
You know, and the best thing I learned from that business is the ability to network and meeting people, because from meeting a lot of different people from our campus, it helps us, you know, work and travel in different campuses and grow the business. We had a legit business in college for 4 years that feed us and, you know, we had money because of it. And then when we graduated, we decided to close it down, took some of that cash, got me an apartment, got me a car. and started working at Enterprise, the rental car company.
Okay, sure. Right, yeah.
So that was an interesting one because at Enterprise, I learned how to sell.
I'm sure you did, right? Yeah.
You know, I learned how to provide service. I learned how to about processes, and I became one of the top managers in the region.
And is that a corporate chain or a franchise?
It's actually a corporate chain with lot of different branches all over the country. I don't know if they changed now, but back then that's what it was.
Yeah, it's probably the same. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it was great because you learn and you stay on your feet all day.
Right.
So that turned to, because of my branch, we're doing extremely well. One of the people that were one of my clients worked at the next company that I got recruited to. Which was Chubb Insurance at the time.
Uh-huh.
And there, what happened is I started working there in underwriting. So I went from rental car company to underwriting.
Okay.
One of the best things that happened to me at Chubb was learning how to use LinkedIn. So
oh, it just started at that point or?
Yeah. Well, LinkedIn been around for like early 2003. And
oh, okay.
I was at Chubb around 2009.
Okay.
So, you know, just a few years later, and the underwriting team was using it as a tool to research people that they were thinking about doing business with. And my job was two-part, do that research, but also work with a group of agents and teach them how they can use this tool and help them find and really find better deals. So,
because then the community of LinkedIn must have been much smaller, right? And people were
just
getting online.
Yeah, it wasn't that big. It was, you know, less than I think it was about 100 million people or even less than that.
It's funny how that sounds small nowadays.
Yeah, it's like, just 100 million.
It's 4 billion on Facebook, you know.
That's not too much.
Yeah, and they hadn't sold LinkedIn at that point, right?
No. It was, independently, with Reid Hoffman and everybody else. The beauty there is everything that I learned in terms of searches and understanding profiles, I didn't know I was going to be able to use that to create a career down the line. So when I got laid off from Chubb in 2011, and I found myself where I'm running out of money,
right.
I couldn't pay my bills, I'm getting credit card debt, my credit score went to the, you know, to the hole. And I had to find a way to make a way. I was applying for jobs. That's when the economy started to
pick up. And things crashed in 08. So it's just starting to come back, so right?
Yeah, slowly. And I wasn't finding anything. So rent was due literally about in less than a week. And I'm like, oh, crap, I got to find a way to make this happen. So in my living room, in my apartment, I'm like, you know what? Let me start a consulting business. I have marketing skills. I know how to look at websites and so forth. And then I said to myself, well, I don't know anybody.
That's the problem, right? Who are you going to talk to? Yeah.
Who am I going to talk to? I don't know anyone. My friends and family can help me. They're not, you know, like business savvy in America.
Yeah.
My dad did great in Haiti, but, it's different.
Right, a little.
So I'm like, well, I know how to use LinkedIn and I know there's a lot of business owners on there. Why don't I use that to see how I can get my first client? And I was able to get...
Just to connect with people, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
To connect and start conversation. That was my whole thing. I'm just going to connect with them, start a conversation, see where that goes.
And you didn't even know, like it was going to, you didn't know if it's going to be digital marketing or regular marketing or didn't care.
No, I just know, I know marketing.
Who cares,
If I look at a website, I could tell you this is wrong, this is right, and this is how you could fix it.
Just had a mind for that.
Yeah. And then if I look at emails, I could tell you what you should do and I could really give you ideas. So when I realized that, then I was like, let me try this. And all I had was a name.
Right. But you were single at the time, right? So you didn't have like children that had to eat.
No kids.
Spouse. Yeah. So
it was just me.
So you could survive. Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, but the only thing is I could get evicted in a week.
Well, yeah. But it's only you, right? So, but you can take the risk. It's not. Yeah. Okay. Good.
So I went in and started reaching out to business owners and, I got one person that got back to me, a cleaning company.
Okay.
She was a sole proprietor. She did the cleaning. She did the marketing. She did everything.
This is like they cleaned homes or they cleaned offices?
Clean homes and some offices here and there.
Okay.
But mostly homes. I spoke to her. I'm like, you know, I think I can help you. I have some ideas. She was in Philly. I was in North Jersey. Right.
So at that point, you're in North Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. And she's like, well, would you be open to meet? I'm like, sure, let's meet up.
Right.
So we meet up at Rutgers campus.
In New Brunswick.
It's New Brunswick.
About in between, right?
In between, right?
Yeah.
We sat down. She told me about her business. She told me what she wanted to do. And I'm like, listen, you know, I'm just starting out. Here's how I think I can help you. You could do this. You could do this. You could do this. You could do this. And she's like, oh, my God. I didn't know I can do all this. Because, you know, when you're an operator, you're so focused in your business.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that's always the problem, to be able to see the bigger picture. That's
exactly
the challenge, right?
So I shared that with her. And then she said, how much do you charge? You know, I didn't come up with pricing.
How about what your rent is next week, right? That should be your
so,
fee.
Right? That's what I said, you know, I can do $500 a month. And she said, oh, okay.
And I'm is like, that what you needed for your rent?
I needed 800 for my rent.
Oh, that's close though.
Okay. So I'm like, if I get two, I'm good.
Right. There you go. Now you met her through LinkedIn. Is that how you connected with her?
Through LinkedIn.
Okay. Yep. Okay, good.
So LinkedIn has like I have a really good emotional connection with it because that's how I make my first
client.
It worked,
right. But they didn't have all this stuff. They didn't have Sales Navigator and all the different things in those days.
Nah,
you had to do your own search.
You do your search and connect and good luck. but it turns out well for me. And that turned into one client. Then I got another client. Then I got a third client. And that was what helped me pay the bills. Then I at the same time, I didn't have that self-confidence that I can do this on my own. I figured because, you know, growing up, they say you got to go to business school to become a businessman.
Yeah, there's no statistic that supports that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But back then.
Yeah, you didn't know. I didn't know either.
I didn't know. No, my family, you know, they're like, you need to go to business school if you're going to be in business.
Right.
So I enrolled into an MBA program.
Like a night program while you're working?
An executive online program.
Oh, even better.
In Northeastern University.
And oh, okay. It's outside of Boston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found it through an ad on LinkedIn. So
there you go. Yeah, I see ads for that stuff all the time. And then it was probably less online programs, right?
Yeah,
nowadays
there weren't
that
many online programs.
Yeah.
So I saw the ad. It says, you know, get your MBA, no GMAT score required. I'm like, I hate taking tests. Click on it.
Oh, you didn't have to take the GMATs?
I didn't have to take the GMATs.
Nice.
Which was
it's a stupid test anyway. All these
I hated
tests.
That test.
It's a business. They make money with these standardized tests. It's true.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, crazy.
So what ended up happening, I enrolled into business school, right? And they told me, you know, the loan is going to be, I think it was about $100,000 for 2 years.
Okay.
And I had no idea where the money is going to come from. And plus, I got to pay for books and so forth. But I'm like, you know, I'm faithful. I'm a believer of God. And I said, all right, fine, let's do it. So I signed the papers, got the loan, and then my business, my little consulting business, helped me pay for the books because every month we had a different class, you know.
Right.
So the money I was making, take that money, pay my rent, pay for books.
and the loans are all deferred, right? That you don't have to pay the loans back until you graduate.
After you graduate.
Right, right.
So, you know, I was busy. I was running the side business and going to school. And then when I graduate in 2013, I was sharing with people what I was doing. And they're like, oh, I wish somebody would teach me how to use LinkedIn. And
yeah, I'm there's like, nobody doing it. I mean, people teach LinkedIn, but not like you do. And there's very few people doing it then.
Exactly. Like,
back nobody
then,
was doing it. Right.
I could tell you back then, I heard it from a few different people before it kind of registered. And there were literally less than 300 LinkedIn trainers.
That were trained by LinkedIn?
Not even trained by LinkedIn.
Just people that know the systems.
Knows the systems or have their own system and would train people.
Okay.
So that was really
That's nationwide, right? So that's not a lot of people.
That was around the world.
Yeah. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And what I did was I found three people. I remember them that I saw when I saw some of their stuff and I went on YouTube and I went to all this place. So I'm like, these guys, they look like they know what they're doing. I can learn from them.
Okay.
One of them, his name is Lewis Howe. He became like a big podcaster. The other two, they're still on their LinkedIn business.
Okay.
One is in Europe, in London. Another one is in Australia, in Sydney.
You keep in touch with them still?
I haven't kept in touch with them. I actually should. I should reach out to one of them because he really opened up my mind on what's possible. Because when I saw his business, I saw how he's running it. I'm like, wow, you know, that's something I can do. And in September 2013, I took the leap of faith. I started the company. And the way I started it is I reached out to a bunch of people, telling them I was doing a LinkedIn webinar. And I charged $30 for the webinar, and people signed up.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, they actually signed up.
Of course, people want to learn this stuff. They see everybody's getting online, and
yeah. So that's how I started, and you know, fast forward to now, we've been fortunate to work with over 590 plus companies.
Okay, now you say we. Is it a consultancy? It's really just you, or you have?
Good question. So it's me. I have an assistant. So that's why I'm saying we.
Right.
But like about 2 years ago, I used to have a team of 10. So it was a combination of training and agency.
But virtual people?
No, I had people in my office.
Oh, wow.
W-2 full-time employees.
Okay.
So we had a sales team, we had a marketing team, and then we had account managers. So yeah, so I have so many lessons I've learned the past 7 years.
You've slimmed down and...
Now we're slimmed down. It's just me and I have the assistant. She helps me with some things and then other people that I hire when needed. So design, I hired out.
Right.
Content writing, I hired out. Automation setup, I hired that out as well.
Right.
Yeah. So
you plug them in when you need them. You don't have to have them on staff.
Yeah. Now I don't need to, because my model changed too. My model, my mindset, everything changes over time. Because when I started a business, I wanted to get it big. And to me, big was having a lot of employees,
right,
a big office space.
That, right, yeah.
Right? And that was the mindset. So the coaches that I had around me were giving me directions on how to get big because that was my vision.
Right.
When I got big and you have 10 employees, full-time salary and a big office space and all these overhead expenses.
Yeah. You don't have a lot left over.
Yeah. Then, right? Your profit is like this.
Yeah, like, why am I doing this?
Nobody tells you that.
You know, you can be making $100 million a year, but if you're only keeping $100,000, what's the point?
It doesn't matter.
Right. It doesn't matter.
You know, so when I realized that, I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that vision anymore.
Yeah. Stressful.
You know, it's very stressful.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's like you see a lot of money going into your bank account. Like you
cash flow.
Yeah. $50,000 coming in a month. And then I'll turn around, I'm like, where's the $50,000?
Right. Well, cash flow hides a lot of things. It just keeps coming and going. And then the month's over and then it comes again. And you
exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, what's going on? And I'm looking at my P&L. I'm like, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know?
And you got your MBA. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's craziness.
We changed it around. When I mean we, I'm talking about myself, different coaches that I hired to help me.
Right.
Set up better systems, automate a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So now I used to need a team of 5 account managers to do the amount of work that I'm doing right now with 40 clients. It's just me and an assistant.
Because you just set it up differently?
System is different.
Yeah.
Set up better systems, set up better automation.
Right. Me too.
That helps so much.
Yeah. Yeah. My practice is the same way. Now it's just me. I used to have staff and a lot of people, and you know, I wanted to trim it down and not have the stress.
Yeah,
I've learned too about automated calendars and automated marketing, and it all connects. And
it saved you so much time.
Oh
and
my
I
God,
had,
it's ridiculous.
I had like 5 sales guys plus myself, right? I had one guy making cold calls. I had one guy doing emails.
Yeah.
I had 3 other guys doing LinkedIn automation and going out and meet people, and I was outperforming them. And it wasn't making sense to me anymore. And I'm like, you know, I don't
think because they're not you. They can't do.
Yeah.
You know,
so now I do ads. So I have ads running consistently and then the ads will bring in the leads. Plus I have LinkedIn outreach that I'm doing.
You weed through them and you close them.
Yeah. And then go through them, filter them out, get on the phone and then put them to our process.
Right. Plus, you've also, I'm sure, upgraded your service, your pricing, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, pricing's better. Now is we're making the same amount of money. We're making more money than we made last year with a team, but better profit.
Yeah, because your overhead's much lower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that has been massive for us.
You know? Okay. So that was, let's see, you started it in 13, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess LinkedIn really kind of started to take off around then, right? Because I remember I was on LinkedIn like in, like you said, like 05, 06 or something. And I didn't know what to do with it. Like my friend was like, you should sign up for LinkedIn. I'm like, okay. Like people tell me this. I do them. Yeah. So I signed up and for years, I was like, I don't know what to do with this profile. Like what? And then I was working with some doctors, I remember. I work with a fair amount of medical professionals. And one of them sends me this LinkedIn request. And I'm like, oh, really? There's doctors on LinkedIn? Like, I don't know. So I accepted his friend request, his LinkedIn request. And then I realized, wait a second. Now I'm connected with all of the people that he knows.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when I would post something or send it out, he would see it. They would see it too.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it starts to build the circles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. it's funny you said that because there are a lot of people that think certain professionals are not on LinkedIn.
Not like, now. Oh, everybody's on LinkedIn.
Exactly. You think, oh my God, this is surgeons on LinkedIn.
Or of course they are.
And
they belong to organizations that have groups that have for their groups medical associations.
LinkedIn. Oh yeah.
Even the college kids, my son's an informatics major in college. Mm-hmm. All the big data and stuff.
Yeah.
They make them set up a LinkedIn profile like right away.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know? It's huge because it's part of the pillars as a professional. You know, it makes sense for you to have one if you're in a professional world. And sometimes people say blue collar folks don't have LinkedIn. Yes, they do.
Yeah. They need networks too. And they want to connect with people.
We do. So just like that interconnections is needed.
Right. Right. So when you started at LinkedIn, you really kind of learned it on your own for the company that you're working for?
Good question. So when I first started, you know, the manager of my division.
You said that was with Chubb or with
Enterprise? Yeah, that was with Chubb.
Okay.
Yeah. So Enterprise didn't teach me anything LinkedIn. It was more sales, customer service. So the guy that was in charge gave me like one quick session on LinkedIn and said, oh, you're just going to play around with it and you'll figure it out.
Well, because he didn't know it.
No one did.
Right. You know?
But then the whole team there started to know how to use it better because we're using it more and more and more and more.
Right.
But we weren't using it as a marketing and sales tool.
Right.
We were using it more as a research tool.
To learn about the people that are applying or was it... Yeah. It wasn't for insureds. Was it for insureds too?
For potential insured.
Because you said you were doing underwriting, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then the agents, we had to figure out how we can help them use that to be able to close deals. So
I think that was the first thing where people were saying, oh, if you're applying for a job or whatever, you better watch out what's on social media.
They're going to look
on LinkedIn and Facebook and all these other things, Instagram. And you're like chugging beers and, you know, doing whatever.
You got to get rid of those pictures.
Yeah, they're hard to get rid of.
So it's the changes in culture, right? Because you're looking at early on, you know, cat videos and everything. And now it's slowly because your image is being shaped better. More people are paying attention to it.
Right.
So you have to make these changes. And I saw the growth of LinkedIn start after 2008. When a lot of people lost their job and they're trying to find jobs.
Right. And that's more the professional platform and Facebook's less of that.
Yeah. But here's what happened though, is because of all those changes and the professionals moving into LinkedIn, some of these guys went from walking on Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
To owning their own business and have the LinkedIn profile. So all of a sudden you have like a big business owners and entrepreneurs on LinkedIn before
flooding in there. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what happened. Well, it's the changes in the economy. I mean, look what coronavirus did. They had to increase the number of people online by like tenfold.
LinkedIn alone got an increase of 30% more people spending time on the platform a longer period of time.
Yeah. Some of them already had profiles, right? But they weren't really engaging
weren't
or using
at
it
at all.
Right.
So now they were on there every day networking. Yep. Like, you know, this year has been incredible for us because we're helping a lot of owners that, you know, were like, yeah, well, that LinkedIn thing, I want my guys to be on the ground, knocking on doors.
Right, which they can't do now. Yeah.
They can't do that.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite, you do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Right. So I'm getting calls where, you know, that LinkedIn thing you shared 2 years ago, let's connect and catch up on that.
Yeah, because they're realizing that's how you knock on doors now.
Exactly.
I never checked this stuff so much starting in March and April. I mean, it probably have 5 or 6 requests or messages after we get off this call, you know, because people, that's just, you know, that's what I get people. I'm like, well, why don't you email me? Oh, I'll message you through LinkedIn. I'm like, okay. You know, it's one of the ways that you can, yeah. How people introduce me sometimes.
Yeah. And it's growing. It's evolving. I mean, yesterday they made some amazing announcement on changes that's happening on a platform. From the design look, it's going to be better because, you know, they got a new CEO now, right. Ryan.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Because Facebook just did that. They came out with a makeover of their.
Yeah, they're all do site, because.
By the way, maybe I age and I'm stupid, but now I'm confused. Like, I had just gotten used to, because I'm more familiar with LinkedIn. So,
yeah.
I just gotten used to the way Facebook looked and worked. And then I go in one day, it's completely different. I'm like,
and you're like, what's going on?
What the heck?
Well, LinkedIn's going to change.
Oh, great.
It's a matter of time, right? Yeah. So it's be on the lookout. But it's a good thing because now they have what's called LinkedIn stories, which a lot of
people like Instagram stories.
Instagram or Facebook stories.
Okay.
And it came out yesterday.
Okay.
Some of us got it yesterday. I got it yesterday. I love it because what
a secret society beta user. Or something, right?
Well, they did the beta using in Brazil and a couple countries in
testing
Europe.
They tested it in smaller markets. Is that what they do?
In smaller markets.
Yeah, they figured if it flops in the United States, that won't be good. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's smart thinking.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know. So now it's ready and it's finally launched outside of the U.S. What I like about it so far is the insights. I can see people who view my stories. I can see their profile. I can see their name.
Even if you're a free user, or you got to be a premium user?
Even if you're a free user, I can see that data. That is very powerful data, especially if we're doing something like this and you take that snippet and put it on a story.
Yeah. So explain to me, I know we're jumping around and I want to get if I'm new and I'm just getting onto LinkedIn, what should I do? But so what's stories? How does it work? What does it look like?
Gotcha. So if you're familiar with Instagram stories, okay.
Let's assume I'm not.
Okay. Let's say you don't know anything.
Right.
Those stories is kind of like a snippet of behind the scene of what's going on in your life, your business,
okay,
and so forth, where you take like a 60-second video, right, on your phone. It's only available on a mobile app.
Okay.
And then you're able to share that with the network.
Okay.
And then what makes it instantly.
Okay.
What makes it exciting is folks that are looking at stories, they're seeing different part of different people's lives. Like, we all see each other one way, but with the stories, if I'm showing the behind the scene of how my office look or how I'm setting it up, now it helps create trust because you're seeing me more as a human.
Now, how's right? that different than me doing a video and posting it?
Good question. It's a little bit different because there's no editing needed, because you could do editing in that video before you post it on the feed, make it look perfect. This is raw. You know, you could add some of the filters that LinkedIn provide in stories, but it's purely raw. Yeah. Which it create that authenticity.
So like, I'm in a co-working space. If I wanted to take my phone and walk around the office and say, oh, this is my co-working space, and this is my you just do it.
This is, so like you're doing a tour of your law firm, right? Here's what was going on here. Here is my assistant and what she's working on. You know, we got several cases we're working on. I can't show you those cases, but here's, here's the drawer.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. All right. So it's a little bit more.
Yeah. Personal.
Yeah.
So you've seen that, you're like, oh, wow, I'd never see that person in that light. And then it feels the ability to trust is easier because you're looking at that person a little bit differently. You're like, oh, okay, he's human just like I am. He goes to challenge just like I am.
So it's a little bit better than just videos, because videos, people get to know you. That's why I like podcasting, because if somebody's listening to you for 40 minutes, us talk, hopefully they'll listen to this episode with us talking, they get a better insight of who you are and what you've been through and how you got to where you where you're going. Okay. So let's get back to the advanced stuff in a minute. So let's assume that I'm a new user to LinkedIn, or I'm just getting started with my business or whatever. What are the kind of things that you recommend to people, you know, to
You're just getting started with LinkedIn, you're just getting started with your business.
Yeah.
Before you go and jump on LinkedIn, because everybody will tell you, you need to be on social media, you need to be on Facebook.
You
don't
have your business going. It's like,
Yeah. So first thing you want to do is sit down, take out a piece of paper, and put a line across. One side says problem, the other side says solution.
Okay.
What problems are you solving? Write those down.
Okay.
Write the solutions. And then in the bottom, think about who are the people you're going to be able to help.
Okay.
So write down 2-3 potential clients that you would want to work with, right? Their name, their industry, their location, their title.
Through once people you that you know, like your network and things like that?
Yeah, your network, people that you know, okay, I can help them with this problem.
Okay.
Because I know they have this type of problem, right? Because that's really laying out your foundation, which is the plan. You need to have a plan.
Good point.
You can't just
tell people you need a business plan. This is part of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you have a business plan, have a LinkedIn plan.
Okay.
Because if you don't, then you can't measure what you're doing and you won't know if you're winning or failing.
Right. Yeah, we're just doing things haphazard, right? Just setting things up, posting things. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm posting every day, but nobody's calling me. Something's missing.
Okay.
You know? So once you lay that plan out, then the next step is your profile.
Okay.
Where you got to communicate what you do and the challenges that you solve. So that means your profile shouldn't be your resume, where you're saying, hey, I have 25 years of IT experience. No one cares.
Right. There's a lot of people that have that, right?
Yeah, but nobody cares. You know, tell me, how can you solve my problem? Ask questions.
Very
so
good.
In your profile, I said, okay, are you struggling with your computer not turning on or your internet is acting up?
Right.
You know, here is ways that our team or I can help you with this.
Right.
We fix Mac computers when there's this type of issue. We fix PC computers when there's this type of issue.
Right. It's that formula they say for elevator pitch, like problem, solution.
Exactly.
Example.
Exactly.
Right.
And you share that.
And you put that in the about me section or whatever.
Exactly. In your about me section.
After this, I'm going to have to go change my profile.
You also need to put a headline, which is like that 2-3 sentence on exactly how you help your clients. Is it okay if I share my screen to show?
Yeah, go ahead. It should be set up to do that.
Awesome. Let's see. Let me know if you can see my screen.
Yep, I got it.
All right. So I'm in the super advanced LinkedIn Sales Navigator screen.
Okay.
Let's go to regular LinkedIn screen.
Okay.
Let's jump on the profile.
Okay.
So when I'm talking about one is you have your headline. This is where you have your 2-second, 5-second elevator pitch on how you help your clients.
Right.
The about section, this is where I'm talking about. So the way I have this one structured is I take the words of some of the people that I wanted to help. You know, when they come to me, they'll say something like, LinkedIn is overwhelming, confusing, and it's always changing. I'm not sure what to do with it or how I can use it to grow my personal brand. So,
good. Okay. Yeah, so they're not like testimonials. They're comments that people make out of frustration or lack of knowledge. Okay.
Exactly.
Good.
Out of frustration and lack of knowledge.
Right. Because people can read this and say, oh, that's me.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
okay,
what you
great.
Want. You yeah. want people to read it and say, oh my God, that's me. By doing that, you attract the right people to
right.
you.
So if people go to your about section, this is kind of a good template for people mm-hmm. to use to write. Okay, great.
Quick story. Earlier this week, someone that owned a company out in Florida reached out to me on LinkedIn, saw my profile, read it, and said, oh, that's me. Send me a quick message on LinkedIn. I sent him a calendar link invite. We had a call yesterday, and I have a proposal out today.
There you go.
so that's how
it works. yeah.
So,
nice.
Yeah. So if you're just starting out, focus on that first.
Right. Okay.
Get that going, you know? And then the other piece of it is the posting. Start putting out content. Now, the LinkedIn stories is only available on your mobile phone.
Right. Can't do it on the web.
Yeah, I can do it on the web. However, you could do photos, you could do short videos and upload them onto LinkedIn. If you want to educate people, you can have webinar events every week. You can write blog articles. So you have the options of a lot of different things you can do.
And should postings be a more sharing of knowledge than it is like yes. like an ad for your business
yes.
all the time?
Yes.
Right.
Postings should be about you educating your network and your
right.
audience.
Value to people.
Yeah. And the reason for that is they don't know you yet. You know, they
right.
have no idea who you are. If you tell them, hey, bro, IT services at 50% off, buy now. No one's going to buy now.
No.
They don't know you.
50% of what? They don't even know who you
exactly.
are.
Exactly. But if you're posting saying, did you know, if you go in your setting on your computer, you can do this, you can do that. Then some people are like, oh, I did not know I can do that.
Maybe right. Well, they don't know a lot of things. I'm going to make
yeah.
a note. Check.
So that's the little stuff that helps that a lot of us should be taking advantage of to help our business propel forward.
You know? Okay, great.
Good. Let me stop sharing.
Okay.
Awesome. I hope that's helpful to anyone just starting out.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems I find, and I'm not a LinkedIn expert, but I'm always looking at people's profiles, connecting with all these people,
mm-hmm.
is that, yeah, I'll read their about me section or their headline and whatever, mm-hmm. and I don't get, first of all, I don't understand what they do, or if I do, I'm like, you know, whatever. It just doesn't tell me. It's not helpful.
It doesn't help you. Exactly. Because that's what we want, something that to help us. It got to be, it can't be about the person. It has to be about the person they want to attract.
Yeah. Now, what are some tricks? I know everybody's kind of playing around with their little headline, their byline to write. So what are your thoughts about how to create a good byline? Obviously, it varies by industry, but there's got to be some, right?
One of the best one, and here's what I tell some folks to do. If you can interview two or three of your clients and just ask them one question, you know,
what do you think I do, right?
Yeah. Or what do we think I do? Or how did I help you?
Okay.
Because you want that transformation.
Right.
Right. So how did I help you? I'll give you another example. We
right.
have
just because it says business attorney, just says that's what my job is. It doesn't
exactly.
mean I'm helping. Right.
It's and not a business attorney. There's a lot of different business attorneys.
Yeah.
A lot of different things. You got guys that focus on M&A. You got guys that focus on business formation.
Right.
You know, so
yeah, absolutely.
Those little details, that's yeah. where the value is. So if you look at some of your best clients and said, how did I help you? And you hear that consistent theme, that's your 10-second pitch in that headline.
Okay, good. So people should do a little bit of research. I think a good rule is that I look at about me sometimes for the podcast, right? So mm-hmm. somebody doesn't send me a bio. If I read their about me and it's a bio that I can clip and use for a podcast episode, it's not good.
It's not the best one to use.
No, it's good for the podcast show notes.
Yes, but it's not good for marketing.
Right, because exactly. it's a marketing profile. It's not a resume.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's get a little bit more advanced, right? So
uh-huh.
somebody's a more advanced user. First of all, should people be, and I'm still not sold on this. I don't know what to do. I don't pay for LinkedIn, right? I got a lot of things going on and I'm very active on LinkedIn and so forth. Let's talk about premium. Like what advantages, Sales Navigator, let's put aside for a moment, but what advantages does somebody who becoming a paid member do for them versus just
so being a free member? One of the best advantage is if you are if you do a lot of searches on LinkedIn,
okay,
meaning you're spending an hour a day searching for potential clients or partners that you can do business with the free version, you're limited.
Right. So it blocks you at some point, right?
Yeah. It's like about 200-300 searches.
Yeah. You've reached your max for the
commercial limit.
Yeah.
You need to upgrade. So then a Business Plus account would make sense.
Okay.
Where it's $59 a month. You become a paid member. You get access to that, but you also get access to the who view your profile. So you can see people that view your profile the past 90 days.
Right, because you always get those emails like 53 people.
Yeah, you
can't see their
where
name.
Where are they? Exactly.
Unless you're a paid member. Okay.
So if those two things are important to you, because there's a lot of opportunity from people who view your profile.
Yeah, they're looking at it for some reason.
Something is going on, right? And then the second one is that search functionality allow you to build your network further. So if you want to get in front of more doctors, for example, and the more plastic surgeons, for example, it makes sense to find out who they are and reach out to them.
Right.
You know, because this is, think of LinkedIn as like a virtual networking that connect you to the globe.
Right.
You could do business with people here in the States or in Asia or
anywhere,
in Europe, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So can you connect with people like in multiple groups, or you got to send them a request individually, whether it's paid or not paid?
Good question. So if you join a group on LinkedIn, you can have conversation with people without connecting to them. Right. You get to send messages to them and they send message back to you. So that's one way to do it. But that's also limited because back in the days, you could do unlimited messages within group, but now they're changing where they put a limit on it. You know, they put a cap on it. And the reason they do that is at the end of the day, LinkedIn is a business.
Yeah. They want to get more premium.
They got to grow their revenue. They're $1 billion-plus company, but they want to grow the revenue even higher. So you got to make little restriction to encourage people to take certain action. If they want more at the platform, they got to invest in it.
So that's a good conversation to have then. So if I'm a more of an advanced user, what do I get out of starting a group? Let's say, I know I get out of joining a group. You can find, like you said, medical professionals in New Jersey or your alumni association or whatever, you can join the group. So why would I start a group, for example?
Good question. I would start a group and I'll take you for example, right?
Okay.
You mentioned you work with medical professionals. I would start a group to build a community of medical professionals.
Okay.
So I'll call it, you know, the surgeon forum. And I will invite only surgeons to join that group where I will provide content that will benefit them and make their life easier. Either is it tools that they can use when they're filling out paperwork or having someone that could tell them about certain new medical, you know, devices that can benefit them. So that's the value of the group, is creating a community of like-minded people. And in your case, or what I would suggest for people who wants to do that, do it around potential clients or partners that you would want to work with. Like we have a client that has a group that has, you know, about like 50 CPAs because they're deal with CPAs.
Right, yeah.
You know, and that makes sense. They have other advisors that's in the group as well. But the core of the group is around CPAs because they want to be able to share value-added content that can benefit the CPAs.
Right.
And that allowed them to stay top of mind because now you're the host of the party.
You know,
it's similar with your podcast. Now you're the host of the party where you bring out your
I probably should do a group for the podcast. I have one on Facebook, but I haven't really paid a lot of attention. I work with a lot of financial advisors. I probably should do a group.
So, but think about it, though. You don't want to have too many groups if you're not going to be able to manage them.
Right.
So I would say, and then, you know, then it's no value there. I would say either you use the one that you have or you focus on one, not too many.
Right.
And then I would say before you even create the group, ask a couple advisors, hey, here's what I'm thinking of doing. can this benefit you?
Right.
You know, because you might create it and no, you know, people join and then no one else do anything and it's just there.
Right. You don't guess.
Yeah.
You'll probably be wrong most of the time.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to ask. And I learned that over time, you know, if I don't ask, for example, you know, we have our program called the Accelerator, where we have different members. We have our group mastermind, and the one we had this past Wednesday, I'm like, I know some of you guys are part of Facebook groups and you guys love Facebook groups. Would it make sense if I create a Facebook group for the members? And some folks said, yeah, they think that's a good way they can support each other.
Right.
You know? So, but if I didn't ask, I would just go and create something, then nobody's interested in it, then just wasted time and money.
Right. Now, these are more your advanced users that...
Yeah. These are advanced members that are using LinkedIn as a marketing and prospecting lead gen program.
Okay, so what's the best way for people to interact with you? I mean, they can send you a LinkedIn request. You probably get 4,000 of them a minute or something now.
I have a bunch of them from all over the world.
I'm sure, yeah. How many people are in your network?
Do you know? Over 12,000.
Yeah, so you got me by about 10,000, I think, or 9,000. I have like three. I'm getting there.
Hey, take your time, you know?
Yeah.
Because what happened is I've been doing this for 7 years. When you do a lot of webinars, a lot of workshops, a lot of content, people find you, and then all of a sudden, you know, I don't know all those 12,000 people.
Of course not.
It's almost impossible to know all of them. But I try to connect with some people that I'm like, hey, we're connected. You know, tell me more about what
you do. You cross paths at different times.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So
I think, you know, between 250 and 500, but that group changes all the time.
Oh, yeah. Location and a lot of stuff changes. So it's really find a systematic way to stay in touch. So if someone want to get in touch with me, one of the best way to do that is send me a connection invitation message on LinkedIn, personalize it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I get a lot of requests from people and I can't figure out why they're connecting with me, who they're connected with.
Exactly.
And I don't accept it because I'm like, why should I just throw anybody into my network, right?
Yeah.
Whenever I approach somebody, I tell him, hey, we met at this event, or Gilbert and I are friends, and he said I should connect with you.
Yeah.
Right. And then I'll connect.
Yeah. So that's a big thing. I want more people to take advantage of that. So personalized message, I'll reply back to you within 24 to 48 hours. You know, that's a very simple way to get in touch with me.
No,
go ahead. I'm also on YouTube. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram.
All the platforms.
All the different platforms.
Sometimes I go to link into somebody for whatever reason and something pops up that they want my email.
Oh, yeah.
What is that blocking me if they don't know me, or does it just they want to collect my email?
So what happened is, you have the ability to set up your settings.
Is this only for premium users?
No. Anybody. You could set up your settings where, you know, if somebody want to connect with you, they need to put their email address in. Some people do that because they want to keep their network very, you know, exclusive to just people that know them and have their email addresses. I don't recommend it all the time. It all depends on where you are in your business.
So if they don't recognize my email, they don't even get my message?
No, it's not that. It's if when it asks to put the email, it's actually you put their email address for you to connect with them. So what's going to happen is it won't send the invitation unless there's an email address in there. And if it's not the right email that's within connected to that person profile, then that invitation is not going to happen. So, it's a lot of little stuff, you know, and especially in the setting and privacy things that people can take advantage of.
If I'm trying to reach somebody and they ask for my email, it's got to match my profile. Is that what it has to do?
If you're reaching somebody and they ask you to put their email address in a box for you to get in touch with them, right? You got to know what their email address is.
Oh, it's their email that they're looking for.
Not yours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's got to match. If you don't know them, you can't connect.
Yeah.
If you know them, you would be connected to them already. Sometimes.
Like I know people, clients that... they have a lot of clients they're not connected with because they never thought about connecting with their clients.
right, exactly. But they might have their email.
Mm-hmm. And so you just plug in that email in there.
Or they got your email at an event and you spoke. And I just think it makes you, I mean, look, you don't have to accept every request, right? But it kind of puts up a wall of like, you know, exclusivity. I don't connect with just anybody. Understand if you're Mark Cuban or, you know, Damian, you know, with the FUBU
Damon
guy.
John?
Yeah, Damon John. I understand that because they probably get thousands upon connections all the time. Bill Gates. Oh, yeah. But, you know, if this is somebody I met and then this thing pops up, I'm like, come on.
You know. Well, you know what it is sometimes. You got to be mindful that a lot of us have LinkedIn. A lot of us don't know all the layers of LinkedIn. So somebody
so it can be set that way and they don't even know
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Think about, you know, sometimes you had your kids set it up for you and, you know, they don't know LinkedIn. They just click yes, yes, no, yes, yes. Oh, you're good and good to go.
Yeah.
And your setting probably not so well set up.
Yeah, when nobody's connecting with me.
And you're like, oh, you know, nobody's on there. And you're missing out millions of dollars of opportunity.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, you got to be aware to win it.
Okay, so we were talking about stories is coming out. Are there anything else that people should be aware of or more advanced a little bit users?
I'll give you a couple of things. Okay. One is they announced that yesterday. You're going to be able to set up meetings with people with Zoom. So when you send someone a message, you can send them a Zoom within LinkedIn so that you could take the conversation on Zoom much quicker. So you don't have to send them that link to Zoom. You just say,
it's a plugin. There's one for my calendar that I use, but it's basically you click on
it. It's within LinkedIn.
It jumped on a Zoom. Here's
and
a link.
It automatically zoom onto the link, which is great. And the other piece, which is more advanced, if you're doing LinkedIn advertising, there is what's called LinkedIn lead gen form where somebody doesn't even leave LinkedIn. You get their name, their email, phone number, and they become a lead. Now, there's something called retargeting ads where you can run a retargeting ads for people that open up that lead form. So even if they don't fill out the form, you could run an ad around the people that open that lead form. And all of a sudden, you're able to bring more people in your pipeline. So
right, because they figured if you opened it, you're probably a little bit interested, maybe you're hesitant.
Exactly. Right. So that's super valuable. That's a big game changer if you're running LinkedIn ads because you could have an ad running, just given a piece of content, get some leads. You may have 15 leads come in, but you have your lead form open 200 times. So that's 200 potential opportunity that you can take advantage of by doing a retargeting ads around it.
And that's just another service you pay for that you add on to the campaign?
LinkedIn ads is pay-per-click, similar to like you have Google and Facebook.
Oh, okay.
You don't need to have a LinkedIn premium to do LinkedIn ads.
And you only pay if people click?
Yeah. And all you need is a company page. So
you need a company page. Okay. We probably could do a whole podcast on advertising on LinkedIn.
Just that, on a company page, on Sales Navigator. It's so many layers.
Right, exactly.
And a lot of us don't see that. We just see the profile and we don't know how deep we can get.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know we don't have the time today, but Sales Navigator really gets you into a lot of automated prospecting, right?
Oh, yeah, because what I love about Sales Navigator is the quality of data because these are our data, right? We're putting this stuff on LinkedIn and we're paying to see it.
Right, exactly.
And then it's being able to see people that just changed jobs in the past 90 days is pretty powerful.
Right.
You know, if you're in the business, if you're working with like a CFO, and they just changed jobs from one company to another in the past 90 days, being able to reach out to them and build that relationship or the general counsel at a larger firm is a massive plus.
Yeah, because that's when the changes usually happen.
They're
looking for their own relationship.
Exactly. And if you were positioned by building that relationship with them, then you can take advantage of it.
Right. Okay, great. Well, we'll have to do an advanced podcast
session, right?
Talk about this stuff, but people should find you on LinkedIn. We'll put your LinkedIn link in the show notes.
Yep.
So people can get to you.
Yep. And
if they want to connect, they should put a message in there. They saw your podcast, saw you at a seminar, webinar, whatever. And and people shouldn't take it for granted that what they slap up there is good enough. Right? Because it's constantly changing.
The platform is changing and the people are looking at it, it's changing too. So, you know, you got to make sure that you position yourself well.
Right. All right, Joelbert, I thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
And I will.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.